Okay. All right, let's grab your booklet here tonight, and we're going to continue in discipleship lessons tonight. We're going to start booklet number 2. So if you look there, a little bit similar format, a little bit different than what we did before. It doesn't have like the weekly goals and things like that. I didn't put any of that in here. But if you kind of open it up to the first page there, you'll see the things that we'll cover in this booklet. We're going to talk tonight about the second coming of Christ. There's a lesson on the deity of Christ. Important lesson on walking in the Spirit. Study on lesson 4 on faith. There's going to be a lesson in here on Bible study, how to study the Bible. And then there are 3 specific lessons on a little bit more in depth on the world, the flesh, and the devil. Then there's a lesson on the Christian home. And then 3 lessons on the Bible. Is the Bible true? And then 2 lessons on which Bible is God's book. It kind of goes through some historical things, some manuscript evidence, and things like that. So these are going to start to go a little bit deeper than some of the other things that we've looked at. And so tonight, we'll start. I think that we're probably not going to flip to any of the verses here tonight the way that it's written. I think that we'll be able to just see everything, the scriptures that we're going to look at tonight, right in the booklet, okay? So let's go ahead and pray, and then we'll start here, and we're going to talk about the second coming of Christ. Heavenly Father, we do thank you that we can meet here this evening, and thank you for the nice day, Father. Thank you for the safety that you've given each of us this week. Father, there is a lot of things, Father, that we need to bring before your throne, and Father, some areas in which Father, we're completely ill-equipped to meet the needs, and Father, we're relying on you to do so. And Father, I do thank you for the brother in South Africa who was returned safely to his family this week, and thank you just for watching over him and keeping him safe, Father, and what a great joy that must be for that family to have him return home. And thank you for answering prayer. And Father, we do pray tonight for Brother Glenn as he recovers at home. Father, we're praying that this operation that he had would be effective, Father, to grant him some relief there in his back, Father, so that he can continue to do the things, Father, that you've given him to do and providing for his family and leading, Father, and his business. And Father, we just ask that you would, even at the house now, Father, just lift his spirits, Father, and encourage him. And Father, we pray that the healing, Father, would come quickly. We pray for Miss Kate getting ready to be operated on tomorrow. And Father, we ask that this surgery would be effective. Father, we know that you're the great physician. And so, Father, as she's entrusting herself to the hands of these earthly doctors, we just ask that you would use them and guide them, that they would see exactly what needs to be done. And, Father, that these things would be an answer to the many issues that she's had there. And, Father, we just pray that things would go well as far as, Father, all the things in surgery. Father, no excessive bleeding, Father, no infections, anything like that. Father, we pray that it would just go well. And I just ask that you would just grant them peace as they enter into it. And Father, I pray that they would know that we love them and that we're praying for them. And you bring her safely back home to us. Pray you bless the study here tonight. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right, the second coming of Christ. I'll read through it here tonight. Introduction. This lesson is designed to warn, comfort, and educate the Christian. The second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ and the events surrounding it are the most mentioned events in the Bible. That comes as a surprise to a lot of people. There are over 500 prophecies in the Old Testament alone concerning our Lord coming back to earth. 500 prophecies over. We can conclude that the main theme of the Bible is the second advent of Jesus Christ, the coming King and his kingdom. Okay? So number one tonight, that was second advent of Jesus Christ. Number one, the promise of his coming. A, the angels proclaimed it. Acts 1 in verse number 11 at Christ's ascension. Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. B, Paul proclaimed it. 1 Corinthians 1, 7. So that ye come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 4, 5. Therefore, judge nothing before the time until the Lord come, who will bring to light, both bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest the counsels of the hearts, and then every man shall have praise of God. Again, 1 Corinthians 11, 26. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death, what? Till he come. 1 Thessalonians 5, 23. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God that your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the what? Coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, so Paul proclaimed it, mentioned it many times in his epistles. C, Jesus proclaimed it. John 14, 3, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Again, Revelation, the book of the or the last book in the Bible, actually ends this way. Revelation 20 and verse 22 and verse number 20. He which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. And so we can rejoice having the angels and Paul proclaim that the Lord coming back is great. But even better yet is knowing that Jesus himself told us he would return. And so that's the angels there. And then in your book, Jesus himself told us that he would return. I will come again. Two, the purifying hope of his coming. Purifying hope of his coming. A, this will encourage you to live right. Knowledge that Christ is coming back should encourage us all to live right. 1 John 3, 2 and 3, Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear. Do you guys need a book? Okay, I saw you guys. Anybody else need a book? I saw these lovely ladies just staring at me, and I know they're note takers. So, anybody else? Okay. What, were you guys slacking tonight or something, not coming in on time? Okay, we'll talk about that later. Okay. It's just good to embarrass your kids once in a while, you know? Okay. Beloved, 1 John 3, 2 and 3. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. If you live your daily Christian life focused on the fact that one day you will see the Lord face to face, it will encourage you to live for the day when he returns. And we're to be mindful of that. The purifying hope of his coming, B, will make you want to obey his commands about his coming. His commands about his coming. What are those? Number one, we should be looking for him daily. Philippians 3:20, for our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Titus 2:13, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Two, we should patiently wait for his coming. So we're not just looking for him, but we should patiently wait for his coming. 1 Thessalonians 1:10. And two, wait for his son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from wrath to come. 2 Thessalonians 3:5. And the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patient waiting for Christ. Three, we should love his appearing. 2 Timothy 4:8. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto them also that love his appearing. This is a crown that Paul earned, and you can earn as well. Other crowns are awarded for our witness, our endurance, our temperance, and our shepherding of others. Don't miss out on getting a crown for the Lord by loving his appearing. All right, so we should be looking for it, we should be patiently waiting for it, and we should love his appearing. Three, the indicators. Are we okay so far? Are we going too fast? Okay. Three, the indicators of his coming. Although we cannot know the exact time Jesus Christ will come again, it is possible for us to know that his return will be soon. We recognize this by watching the end time prophecies come to pass exactly as the Bible predicted. A, signs for the Jews. Because the Jewish people require a sign, 1 Corinthians 1:22, the Lord gave them several signs to look for before his coming. Matthew 24 and verse number 3, tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? Jesus answered that question in the remainder of the chapter with 20 different prophecies that would come to pass before his return. 20 different prophecies that would come to pass before his return. These signs include things like, one, false Christs. Matthew 24 and verse number 5. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. Two, wars and rumors of wars. Matthew 24 and verse number 6. Ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. Three, famines, pestilences, and earthquakes. Matthew 24 and verse number 7. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in diverse places. So that's just a kind of a sampling of some of the signs that Christ mentioned in Matthew 24. In that passage, the disciples come to him and say, what shall be the sign of thy coming? And then he begins to reveal a number of those things to those Jewish disciples. B, so we have not only signs for the Jews, but we have symptoms of the church. As we draw closer to the Lord's coming, evil men will wax worse and worse. 2 Timothy 3:13. As such, the church will be affected. Okay? One, the condition of men. So these are things that you can expect to see before the Lord comes back. The condition of men. 2 Timothy 3:1 through 5. This know also, that in the last days, perilous time shall come. Men shall be lovers of their own. Whenever Brother Donovan reads this, he says, lovers of their own selfies. Men shall be lovers of their own selves. Covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such, turn away. And so that will be the condition of men. And that will certainly be in the church. And we see that. Two, changes in doctrine. 1 Timothy 4 in verse number 1 through 3. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats, so on and so forth. Three, a falling away. 2 Thessalonians 2 in verse number 3. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, that being the Antichrist, who we'll speak about in a moment. None of these signs or symptoms show us an exact time when Jesus will appear. But it's not difficult to see that these things are happening in our generation. As a Christian, you should be prepared to meet your Savior at any time. 1 Thessalonians 5, 2, 4, and 6. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord cometh as a thief in the night. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. And so these things are happening, is what that was there in our generation. Okay, so those are the indicators of his coming, some certain signs given for the Jews, some different things, symptoms of the church. Moving on to four, and this is the final section on the second coming of the Lord. The coming of the Lord is in two parts. Four, the two parts of his second coming. A, the rapture of the church. Okay, or that would be the first part of his second coming, the rapture of the church. Very soon, Jesus Christ is going to come and call the saved from the earth to meet him in the air. This is going to cause great chaos on the earth, with thousands, if not millions, of people disappearing. Here are a few things true of what we call the rapture. Number one, the Lord himself will come from heaven. 1 Thessalonians 4, that's what we're looking for, that's what we're waiting for, that's what we're to love. The Lord himself will come from heaven. 1 Thessalonians 4, 16. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven. I love how he does that. Himself, like, just so you know, it's him. The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout and with the voice of the archangel and with the trump of God. Two, the dead in Christ will rise. 1 Thessalonians 4, 16b. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Three, we who are alive will rise with them to meet the Lord. 1 Thessalonians 4, 17. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Important. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. And then fourthly, our physical bodies will be changed. Philippians 3, 20 and 21. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it might be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able to do subdue all things unto himself. I think we had this verse earlier, 1 John 3, 2. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. A person who is not saved will miss this great event. 1 Thessalonians 5, 9 and 10. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. The unsaved will be left behind and will enter into the worst times this earth has ever known. Okay, so that's the rapture of the church, the first part of his second coming. Now, we'll finish with this. The return of Christ to earth. So this would be the second part of his second coming. The return of Christ to earth. After the saved have left the earth at the rapture, the seven-year tribulation will begin. This time is known as Daniel's 70th week and the time of Jacob's trouble. Jeremiah 30 and verse number 7. I didn't put a reference on Daniel's 70th week, but that's Daniel 9, 24 through 27, I think. Somewhere in there. I think that's about right. It is not the time of the church's trouble. Because the church has already been taken to heaven. It's the time of Jacob. Remember that Jacob is another name for Israel, right? Jacob is Israel. It's the time of Israel's trouble. Thus, at this time, God will begin dealing with the Jews as a nation once again. Romans 11 in verse number 25. For I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery, lest ye should be wise in your own conceits. That blindness in part is happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. During this time of upheaval, the world will find a new leader in none other than the devil incarnate. This man is mentioned throughout the Old Testament and known as the beast in the book of Revelation. We commonly call him the Antichrist. He will establish himself as a man of peace. Daniel 11, 21, and in his estate shall stand up a vile person, to whom they shall not give the honor of the kingdom, but he shall come in peaceably and obtain the kingdom by flatteries. He will gain global control and power over the financial institutions, Daniel 11, 43, by which he will coerce the world into joining his political system. Revelation 13, 6 and 16 and 17. He causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, that no man might buy or sell save he that had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. And so that's devil incarnate, Antichrist, global control. Okay, and picking up there again now after Revelation 13, 16 through 17, in the middle of the tribulation, he will declare that he is God and demand worship as such. 2 Thessalonians 2, 4, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Some Jewish people will recognize the Antichrist for who he truly is and will hide from him for 3.5 years while they are protected by God. Revelation 12, 6. And the woman fled into the wilderness, the woman being a representation of Israel there, fled into the wilderness where she hath a place prepared of God that they should feed her there 1,200 in 80 days, that's 3.5 years or 42 months. The Antichrist will then focus on destroying the Jewish people and will gather all nations against them in Jerusalem. And there's just so many references on this, you just kind of have to consolidate. Zechariah 14, 2 through 4. Yet just in time, the Lord Jesus Christ will return and defeat him at the Battle of Armageddon. Revelation 16, 16 and 19, 7 through 21. So if you're going through this with someone, you probably want to look up some of those references. It's just to, you know, maybe you're not going to look at all of them as you explain some of this stuff, but they're there for you. It was going to get pretty long on these if we put all of those in there, but those are important verses to see. Revelation 19, 7 through 21, that's the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the passage where he comes on the white horse and the armies in heaven follow him, and he's got the name and the vesture dipped in blood and so on and so forth. That's that passage, but I didn't want to put 15 verses there. Romans 11:26, so all Israel shall be saved. As it is written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer, that's Christ, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob, or once again from Israel. When the Lord Jesus Christ returns to earth the second time, he will bring the saved with him as his own army. Revelation 19:14. He will enter Jerusalem and set up his kingdom on earth, where he will rule and reign as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. The Antichrist will be cast into the lake of fire, Revelation 19:20, and Christ will usher in a thousand-year time of peace known as the millennial reign of Jesus Christ, Revelation 20, verse 4, Isaiah 11, 1 through 10. And I realize that part of it, you kind of covered a lot of material, but I mean, it's basically to kind of give an overview of that, not necessarily an in-depth study on each one of those things, but just to kind of give someone a general overview of the future time frame. So I would recommend, and if I'd have thought about it before I had the booklet printed, I'd have put in here a little time chart. Just a simple time chart, and I would encourage that if you're ever talking to someone about this, just to, as we often do up on the whiteboard or in Sunday school classes where we draw the line and you have, you know, the cross of Christ, you know, 30 AD roughly, then you have the church age for 2,000 years, draw a little arrow going up for the rapture and an arrow coming down. Most of you could probably draw this in your sleep for the rapture. Then put a little tribulation period in there. Then put an arrow going up, coming down for the Lord setting up his kingdom here on earth. And then you have that millennial reign. And so it might help to show some type of a little timeline where you can kind of refer to and show these events. Okay, so in short, that's the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. A lot of good stuff, a lot of encouraging stuff in there, looking for the Lord's coming, but also just actually a fair amount of prophecy in that lesson too to show what's to come. Okay, next week we're going to look at Jesus Christ and the deity of Jesus Christ, but that'll be it for this week. Bring your booklet next time if you can remember, keep it with your Bible or whatever. We'll try to have a couple of loose copies if you forget it, so you can kind of keep up with it. But hang on to this one, okay? All right, let's pray. Lord, I thank you that we can meet tonight. Lord, thank you. I was encouraged. I was blessed just reading through the verses, your promises especially, that you will come again. And Father, we have your word on it. And so, God, we pray that you would come and that you would come soon. Thank you. God, that we can move forward in faith and in hope, knowing, Father, what our future holds, and knowing that, Father, whether we pass from this earth before you come, or if we're part of those which are alive and remain regardless, Father, when we're in Christ, we are going to rise to meet you in the air. And so, Father, we look forward to that day. We pray for it. God, we pray that, as you said, that you will come and that you will come quickly. Thank you for these assurances that we have in the scriptures. Might you help them as the lesson encouraged us tonight. Might you use them to encourage us, Father, to stay in fellowship with you and to yield to Christ in us the hope of glory in our day-to-day life, Father. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right, that'd be it for tonight. You are dismissed, and Lord willing, see you on Sunday. Let's be praying for that service. You are dismissed.